which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's great.
All this work from home stuff. So we are dealing with background noises, dogs barking.
Yeah.
But I've started our recording, so we're good to rock.
Nice.
We're doing our Amplified Team Training podcast remotely, keeping our social distance from each other.
Right. We've always been good at that.
Come on. I like you more than you think I do. Maybe. But gang, welcome back. This is Eric.
And I'm Chet.
And we are Amplify Team Training, and we're, I think we're on episode 5 now. It's bad that I can't keep track of the episodes.
Yeah.
We are on episode 5, and God, we've been talking a lot about yes and how that is a backbone for our corporate training, our team building, and helping teams build epic teams and culture through the power of yes. Today's a little bit of a spin, right? Chet, what are we talking about today?
Well, you know, we're talking a little bit today about kind of the misconceptions of what that means, or the misconceptions around yes and yes and, because, you know, a lot of times I think more and more people have heard of the idea of yes and, or heard the idea of some of the tools of improv as a way to communicate better and build teams. And I get a lot of feedback, at least, around people sort of not fully understanding what's meant by it, or the, you know, what is really at the heart of yes and kind of there are kind of some common misconceptions as I talk with people, particularly people who have not gone through the training, who just kind of heard of it and they're like, oh, that's, you know, oh, that's great. You just say yes all the time. I understand it. You just say yes. And that's not really what the yes and mindset is all about.
Right. We're a team of agreeable people. That's it. We just go around saying yes to each other all the time. And it's wonderful. It's glorious.
And sometimes, Eric, they say it mockingly to me, like, oh, you just say yes all the time. And that's not quite.
This is a podcast for the non-believers, is what you're saying. It's it's not for the non-believers, but it's to address the concept that we understand there's, you know, the yes and philosophy is misunderstood, right? We've talked a little bit about that. And we're going to talk more about that, but also addressing, like, what does yes and mean, right? And we're going to cover a few things that it doesn't necessarily mean that we're saying yes to everything. It's more of a mindset. What does that mindset mean? We'll talk a little bit more about yes, not just being a culture of yes and being agreeable. It's the yes and part. And why is the and part so critical, right? Is that it's more than just being agreeable. It's acknowledging and building. And then ultimately, it doesn't mean that you never say no, right? A lot of people are like, oh, yeah, yes and. You guys, you know, that sounds silly. Doesn't sound silly. It sounds, you know, I get it. You guys just never say no to anything, and that's not true. It's how to say no.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about, like, yes and doesn't mean just saying yes to everything. What does that mean? Like, when you run into folks that, you know, when we're building teams, when we're going through exercises to train people around yes and, what happens when people, team members start to think, oh, I just need to say yes here?
Well, I think a couple things. Sometimes they almost think it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I just got to say yes to everything. They don't really think about what it means, because, you know, to me anyway, and I think in improv, the yes is sort of the baseline. It's sort of setting that mindset of that you're open to ideas. That's kind of what's really mean that I'm open to listening to someone else. I'm open to hearing someone else's idea. That to me is what the yes part means of yes and when it comes to corporate training. But even if you think of improv or us, you know, doing scene work on stage as improvisers, it's not just about saying yes. I mean, it's again about being open to other people's ideas and how they shift your own idea. But if I'm only saying yes out there, I mean, I'm not getting in the way of the scene, or I'm not saying no and stopping things, but I'm not really participating. I'm not engaged myself, and I'm not really moving things along. And to give you an example, so, you know, for us on stage, Eric, if you were on stage and you were to start a scene, just go ahead and start a scene and I'll just yes you. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. And truth is, I was just thinking of one of our previous podcasts. I'll start with this. Chet, we're going to build a lollipop stand on wheels.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then we're going to drive and we're going to do it like an ice cream truck, but lollipops, and we'll go neighborhood to neighborhood to sell to the kids.
Yeah.
And then, God, you're frustrating. you're really leaving me out to dry. It's like, I felt it immediately. I was just like, golly, it was almost ingenuous of like, or disingenuous to be like, yeah, I get it. Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, wow,
I felt very alone. Thank you for proving your point. I'm a business scapegoat.
And the thing is, it does feel that way. And a couple things happen. I mean, to some extent, I guess, yes, you got what you want, but the idea never became great with any other thoughts to it other than making you continue to drive the idea. Right. And we weren't really doing much. I wasn't really adding much. Again, I wasn't literally getting in the way saying, no, that won't work, or why are we going to do this? But I didn't really add anything. And really, I think the same is true with working together. When we say yes to each other, really the yes isn't just like almost like you said, a disingenuous yes, or yeah, that sounds good, or just yeah. It's
we will help you and your teams understand that personality, right? And we talked about the chronic negator. We'll always talk more about that. And then there's a person that says yes, and then there's starting to see the people that say yes and. And the exercises, the customization that we do in our training, it's great because we see it all the time, right? We see people in the trainings, in the engagements that we do, start to open up to be yes people. But then there's that next step of becoming yes and people. And the exercise, and what's great is when we start to see those epiphanies, again, we talk a lot about aha moments. There's the aha moment of, oh, I'm the negator, right? The aha moment of I say no. Now there's a transition to feeling I'm saying yes. And there's that aha moment of, oh, this feels different to say yes, but it feels even better and more contributing and more collaborative and more of a teamwork effort when you get to the yes and piece, right?
Completely. To me, the and is where the magic happens. The and is where the good idea goes from good to great. Or can go from good to great, because now you get two people working together on it with new ideas rather than one person having to drive the whole idea themselves, you know, from idea through execution. And also just from the team aspect, it means I'm engaged, because in order for me to, I guess, you know, yes is the price of entry. In the order for me to and, I've got to listen to you. I've got to understand what you're saying, and then I'm building on it. So to me, the yes is sort of that acknowledgement part that, okay, I have heard you. Right. And now I'm adding something to it.
It's not just a culture of being agreeable, or a group of team members saying, yes, yes, yeah, let's do that. You know, it's yes, let's do that. And let's add something to it. Let's have an event and donate, you know, $25 to the attendees charity of choice. That's something that we've talked about in our organization, and that's how we kind of expand on ideas and really kind of build up the ideas. And that's the point. It's the second point really is yes is not always an agreement. Well, it's an agreement, but it's more than that. It's an acknowledgement, and it's that mindset of saying, I hear you, and because I hear you, I have something to add. And when you have something to add, that's what really says, I understood what you said. I heard what you said. I understood what you said. And let's build on that together. Right.
And that could be, you know, I think as well, look, it can also be that I say yes a time or two because I'm trying to process it. But the mindset of yes and is I'm wholly listening to you and I'm trying to find ways to make your idea better. The lollipop stand might be the lollipop stand. That sounds great. Tell me more. That's just yesing you, mm-hmm. but maybe I need to hear a little bit more. And now I'm listening and I'm listening. And then I spark along with, that's great. And here's how we can make it happen. Here we can make it better. Does that make sense?
It does. There's a quick anecdote. I had an employee on my team And she always came to me with questions, and I always wanted to encourage her to think of it for herself. I believe my people were smart, and I managed people that way. And I said, you know, if you put some thought into it, you're smart enough and you're capable enough to come to the answer. But it was kind of me saying, in a way, saying yes, but not really saying yes. And let me add a little bit more. Let me give you a little bit more on that idea. And I think a lot of leaders, executives and managers, directors, they do that with their employees. Like the yes, tell me more. Or yes, think further about that and come to something versus offering up that little tidbit. And I think it's a great value of a manager or an executive leader to have that mindset, because your people come to you with ideas. They come to you asking for help. And I was one of those people that said, oh, you can really figure this out. And it's not always the case. And you need to give them a little bit more to be successful. And Chip, yeah. You know, in our trainings, what sticks out to you in your engagement with teams or executive leaders, onboarding training, where you saw that yes, maybe the yes part happen and kind of break down where it wasn't fulfilling and acknowledging the idea, where you saw the aha moment of yes and what impact that had? I put you on the spot. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I've seen it quite a bit, and I've seen it in a couple ways. One is that when we're getting to some of that yes and, you know, the meat of yes and applying it to the particular customer or client's needs or scenarios they might face, is that you do find them sometimes just saying yes, or saying, yeah, I've heard that, or yeah, that's interesting, rather than engaging more. So that's one thing I have found. And then almost pushing them to say, okay, that's great. You know, you've heard them, you understand it, now add something to it. And when they add something to it, that's kind of the aha moment of, did you see how when you added something to it, it meant more? It actually engaged the other person more, really showed that you were listening and you weren't just yes, being the yes man, so to speak. You were actually engaged in trying to understand more, because it can even be, as I yes and I haven't fully understood what you've said, that's your chance to correct me even more, to understand your idea, to engage more. So I've seen that as an aha moment. I've also seen it where people literally say the words yes and, but they haven't really listened to the other person. And the next thing out of their mouth is really negating or saying yes but to the person, even though they've said yes and. And that's why we talk about a lot about how yes and is a mindset. It's more than literally just saying the words yes and. It is, I'm listening, I'm trying to build off of you, rather than I'm waiting for you to stop talking and saying yeah, and then saying what my idea is. And so those are kind of the two ways I've seen it manifest itself in some of the training that we do, is sometimes people say, I get it, yes and. And then they don't really literally yes and. They say the words yes and, but they're not working off the other person. And it's clear that they didn't listen. And sometimes when we as instructors then break it back down and say, hey, did you see when you said yes and you added your idea, do you see that had nothing to do with what the person just said? And that creates aha moments as well. And then we try it again. And invariably, when people do get this idea of that it's a mindset and I need to listen more and understand more first and then add, that's how we can together make a better culture and make better ideas.
And what's great of the curriculums that we build for clients is there are entry level exercises, there's intermediate level exercises and advanced or expert level exercises that really drive home these points and in a way can shape that culture over time where people are understanding. And I think it's important to understand as well that when you're engaging employees, right, if you're a manager and you're trying to be a better team leader or a better leader in general, you know, there are those moments where someone's going to come to you for a question or present an idea. And there is a fine balance, I think, of understanding, you know, when they're getting their, how they're trying to get their full idea out, and when is the right time to yes and. When is the right time to add your perspective on the idea?
Well, right? I think that's true. And I also think, you know, just getting back to your point about how the yes part is sort of acknowledging the person and acknowledging the idea, you know, right. Again, and it doesn't mean saying yes to everything. It's a way of engaging. It's a mindset of how to engage people, because another That's example right. that I see sometimes is just how people, you know, again, it's not that yes and means that you can't say no. It more is engaging that way. So, for instance, if I said, hey, you know, I think we should add a new production silo to be able to make more product. I could right. I then could respond and say, no, that's going to be too expensive. We don't have the budget for that. We don't have the capital for that. Or I could say, yes, I understand that. And we would need $10 million more dollars to make that happen. And I'm at least engaging you to say, well, if it's $10 million more, if we're able to dedicate a certain amount of our profit in the next quarter towards that building fund, we might be able to get there. And now we're almost solving the problem rather than I'm just saying no to you. Does that make sense? So it's not.
Absolutely.
And I've done it with a yes and mindset. And ultimately, we might not find the budget for it, but I've engaged you. We may try to figure out a solution to it, or at least the way that I've engaged you is saying, yes, I understand that, and that would be great. And here's the issue is yes. much stronger and much more engaging than no, we can't, or we don't have the budget for that.
The problem in the budget pieces is what comes up a lot. And I think that's a great example. And in sales and marketing, which is my background in my world, when you go ask marketing to do an event, the moment you say no, everything stops. And that's something we make very apparent in teamwork and collaboration. I've seen that the hesitation or the response of saying no is a way to not open up a can of worms of other challenges. In your example, you just said, yes, we would need $10 million in budget. That's a can of worms that says, well, how do we now go get that $10 million in budget to do this project?
Right.
And I think most people in their professional, it's getting outside their comfort zone and tackling another challenge that they're not used to, or that they are afraid, if I say yes to this, I have to then open up a new can of worms and go solve a new problem of how do I create a $10 million budget, or how do I create a $1,000 budget for this event that my salesperson wants to do in the field.
The interesting thing is I agree with you. And if you don't open that can of worms or that challenge, you're never going to get there.
You'll never know. Right. My favorite childhood poster, you don't know what you can do until you try. And that's the culture. You know, that's the mindset of yes. And is yes, we can do this together. We don't have the answer as individuals. We don't have the answer today, but let's work together to figure it out. Right.
Totally. You know, I think as well, you know, when people think, oh, you're just saying yes, you never say no. I think as well, it can be, you can introduce that there are choices and there are limitations and saying no to some ideas. You know, you sent a great article that we both read or that you sent to me from the head of HubSpot talking about when saying no, how to say no and effective ways of saying no that are important. And I think.
Right.
I don't think it's incongruous with what we teach, because we teach a lot about yes and it opens up ideas, it opens up possibilities. But then when we have to, it opens up in many ways, it's a divergent way of thinking. And then there is that need sometimes to converge back down to, okay, well, we've surfaced these possibilities. Now, which ones are we going to do? And that means that some might be left by the wayside. And you could say that's saying no to them. I would also say that's a way of saying yes, and if we do this one project, that means we can't do this other one. And that's when we get into, well, let's identify which ones are the strongest and where our focus should be and how it ties into our mission. But I would posit that you get more ideas and more possibilities when you start from that yes and mindset that then allows you to make some great no's, to be able to say that's a great idea, but no, we're not going to do it because we have these other great ideas first. And it's not saying no necessarily entirely for that idea. It's just meaning we've got a better idea first, so let's work on that first.
And I think that's what I love to see happen with teams, right? Is when they change their mentality evolves to say, hey, we can say yes and work together and collaborate. And as we build on ideas, as we work together and collaborate, we as a team are going to come to a no point, is that, which is what you're mentioning.
Yep.
You're going to yes and all, maybe if you visualize a circle all the way around the circle and say, yes, this is great, and let's do this, and let's do this. Okay, we can't possibly do this, or we can't do this just yet. So how do we now have this great idea. How do we execute on it? And it's, you know, no to these five things that we can't do yet. Let's do this first thing, and then maybe the second thing. And in a way, you're saying yes to something, no to something else. One of my favorite things in, it's not my favorite thing, it's a terrible, unfortunate thing, is in business, we talk about firing. There's the unfortunate challenge, if you will, of firing people, of letting people go. And they're changing it now to offboarding, right, is the new euphemism. And
made me feel less fired, but I like it.
Yeah, it's us thing, not meetings anymore, because there's no me and there's no us in meeting. Bring a little call back to our changing in nomenclature in the corporate world. But in the offboarding process, you know, I interviewed and met with this woman who was a sales leader, and I loved her story of offboarding, because she actually took a yes and mindset into offboarding, which is a terrible thing to go through as a manager, as a leader, because ultimately you're saying, no, we're not going to employ you any longer. It is a big no. But the way in which she did it was this mindset of, yes, you are a skilled sales employee, and you have these abilities, and you thrive in this culture, and that is not our culture, right? Yeah. I was so impressed with how she handled it. And it was a story of her letting go one of her top salespeople who kind of cheated a system of leads and everything. And it was very interesting to learn the mindset of, how do you let somebody go who's producing, and you want to be very mad at them for what they did, but instead you're saying, yes, you're good, and your skill set is this, and you thrive in this culture, and that's not us, so let me help you get to a place where you would be the best.
Yeah, you know, and I've done that even with actors I've worked with before. You know, we've had actors that, from a crowd standpoint, people would say, you're crazy if you're not going to work with that person anymore, because they're so funny.
Yeah, they're so great.
And they stick out, and they always make me laugh. It's like, well, in the world of improv, that's not always a great thing. And so I have it, and I hate those conversations, you know, because you are saying, I'm not going to work with this person anymore. But I have had this similar conversation saying, you're very funny. You're tremendously talented. You're in many ways, you're almost, you know, a genius at coming up with things really fast, but and you're going to be great. You're going to grow on to great success, and you're just not going to do it with us, because our culture is different. Our culture is part of a team. And in that environment, you're not thriving. And other people aren't thriving because of the mix. And so we need to move on. You know, I also think it's something that sometimes people can wrap their heads around as well. When we do improvisation, you know, sometimes when we do an improv scene and it's really funny, we may then go and turn that into a sketch piece, which is a written piece. And we first have to decide, was that just funny because it was in the moment, or is it just always going to be funny? And we don't literally just take what we did in improv, write it up, and do it. We do go back and things and say no to some of the choices and things that, you know, kind of merged off the path a little bit or maybe weren't quite as funny, and then hone it all down, make it the best it can be, and then still have a decision. Do we present this as our own thought and our own written PowerPoint? Maybe it's great, it's wonderful, it's funny, and yet it doesn't fit our show. So there are, but it couldn't happen without that yes and mindset leading to those great ideas, to then go back and say, now as we converge, we're going to fine tune and we're going to leave some stuff off the table.
And that team production was funnier than the individual that was really funny, I'm guessing.
Oh, right. In that case, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So this is great. And, you know, again, just to kind of recap the whole approach of yes and the yes and philosophy that we base a lot of our training on, not all of it, but a lot of it, It is based on a mindset and helping teams adopt that mindset, evolve them from a no to a yes and in phases. You can look on our website. We have plenty of use cases where this is very applicable, from new hire onboarding, executive leadership. You just say, you know, sales and marketing, being on the same page, but also being agreeable toward goals and in the way in which they execute and go to market. So if your team is looking to evolve into a more collaborative culture and a culture of teamwork, let us know. We're happy to help. You can check out more at amplifiedteam.com. Look for us on LinkedIn at Amplified Team Training, Twitter, and Instagram at Amplified Team and at Think Amplified on Twitter. But thank you guys for joining. Again, this was on the topic of the misconceptions of yes and. We look forward to catching you on our next podcast, and we will talk with you then. Thanks again.
Take care.